racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
It's go time in the world of professional golf. Hi, I'm Bob Bupker, here with Jay Randolph Jr., who you can find on Twitter at STL Golf Geek. And Jay, the heart of the major season really kicked off with the conclusion of the Memorial Tournament.
Yeah, it was great to have that type of field and have so many good players, Bob, in the mix. It almost gave you, like you said, a major championship feel. And despite the weather at the end of the tournament, I think we've got a tremendous winner and a tremendous story. A guy that I just figured, you know, if there's a guy out on tour, Bob, that could brush a 77 off his back, I think it would be Jason Dufner, and he proved me right on Sunday. And now we got FedEx this week, and then it's the National Open.
Well, you mentioned that 77 on Saturday, a very rare feat indeed. You have to go back to 1989, the last time anybody won on the PGA Tour, shooting a 77 in the third round. So quite an accomplishment. Well, the U.S. Open final qualifying was the day after the tournament. And then just a few days later, right after the St. Jude FedEx Classic, it's going to be U.S. Open week in Erin Hills in Wisconsin. And we're going to be there. But before we get started, Jay, I just want to tease to a special interview later on in the show. I had a chance to catch up with Dwayne Bach. He's Kevin Kisner's caddy. He answered all our listeners' questions about what it's like to caddy on the PGA Tour, and especially for a winner. And I think our listeners are going to be surprised at some of the responses he has. Caddying is not as easy as it may seem to people watching on TV.
Well, you and I both know that the best stories sometimes, or the best information out on the PGA Tour, comes from the caddies. I've seen you with great relationships you've had with guys that were caddies that you might not even really have the relationship with the player, but the caddies know what's going on almost as much as the pros.
Well, you'll get a kick out of this. I don't want to spoil the interview, but the one question I asked him, I said, right now, Dwayne, push Kevin Kisner to the side. Three best players you think are on the PGA Tour. Guess who he said, number one? Your man, Rambo. I was blown away, and I said, how can you say that? He says, I'll tell you why I can say that, Bob. He said he was paired with us at Colonial, and I watched this 22-year-old get up and pipe driver after driver after driver down these narrow fairways that everybody else was hitting an iron just to keep it in the fairway, and he just impressed Dwayne to no end.
I mean, I seriously believe that the last person, I mean, he was the low amateur, Bob, at the U.S. Open last year, and now the guy's in the top 10 in the world. I mean, that's like the guy that, you know, we used to know, Mr. Woods. That's that kind of stuff. That's a huge jump.
It certainly is, and I think everybody's going to enjoy that interview later on. Jason Dufner, he showed us his game is back in top form, 65-65, and then as Jay said, 77, but he came back with a strong 69 for a three-shot win.
Everybody on the PGA Tour is really excited to be part of this event. Knowing what Mr. Nicklaus does, knowing what Nationwide does for the local area, and having such a fantastic venue, we're excited to be here. We love playing this event. To always have my name attached with this event, Mr. Nicklaus, that's the thing that makes me proud the most, I think, you know, and I think just being part of history in golf is amazing to me.
Well, when they say Mr. Nicklaus, that's a big check mark for me. Just shows the respect for Mr. Nicklaus that everybody that plays this game should really have.
What a performance by Jason Dufner. I mean, you know, he really kind of looked like he had given it away on Saturday. And then when the opportunity was there, he grasped it on Sunday. And I think that, you know, he mentioned Mr. Nicklaus, and I think Jack Nicklaus would be proud of that type of performance. And I thought it was a fantastic memorial. You had that leaderboard. You had Ricky Fowler up there. Justin Thomas woke up and played good golf. Kuchar, who's won there, played well. You had Bubba Watson, Kevin Kisner. So it was really a good leaderboard. And I'll tell you, Bob, the one thing about the PGA Tour, you woke up Sunday and you look at that leaderboard, and you had a kid on top who'd never won on the PGA Tour. He had a 3-shot lead. You know, Daniel Summerhayes is a fine player. But you almost got a sense that you could go back to 10 under, and that's where the tournament started. And unfortunately for Summerhayes, that's what happened on Sunday.
Daniel Summerhayes impressed me, though. I think he has what it takes to win on the PGA Tour. He's played 185 events now. Yep. So his time will come. Really impressive with that ball striking. By the way, Jason Duffner, only the second Ohioan to win the Memorial, the other none other than Jack Nicklaus. And you certainly mentioned a lot of players that played well. The host, Jack Nicklaus, really enjoys being involved in his tournament. And, of course, the players like it, too. Really, last great of the game to still have his own event.
And it's really cool to see Jack in the television booth on the weekend. And he is involved, as you said, and they're talking about the great milkshakes they got. And he has such a great perspective on this game. And as you said, Bob, with the loss of Arnold and you know what that's like at Bay Hill, it is still great to have Jack. And I also love the fact that they honor somebody every year. And they've already announced that next year, 3-time U.S. Open champion Hale Irwin will be honored.
Yeah, certainly well-deserved. Let's listen, Jay, to what Jack had to say about that Duffner win.
We always love to have, you know, a champion who's played the best golf of the week. Jason played the best golf this week. And, you know, it's when you see a guy who really just lights the course up for 2 days and then struggles. He played his round yesterday that wasn't good. He knows it wasn't good. He said he was ticked off last night. He went out and got it out of his way, and he went out and played golf today. And I think that's not only did he play golf today, he played smart and he played solid golf and didn't get himself in any trouble, and he just went ahead and won the golf tournament. Everybody else ended up having the problems that he had yesterday finishing up. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen. And we're delighted to have Jason as our winner. I mean, he's a quality player. He's a PGA champion. He's got a great record, and that just adds to his record. And I think he's got a lot more in him.
Well, he played Jack Nicklaus golf on Sunday, that's for sure. Hey, Jay, we got big news from Vertical Groove Golf. They are expanding and now have a distribution center in the United Kingdom and soon to be in Ireland, France, Germany. That's great news for our Talk Sport 2 listeners in the UK. And now you got a great chance to win a Vertical Groove driver. Just enter or pick the winner contest. What you have to do is predict who's going to win the U.S. Open. You send your pick into entry@thegrillroom.com, or you can even message us on Facebook at the Grill Room Golf Show. You're going to want to have one of these state-of-the-art drivers in that bag. What's going to happen when you have this driver? You're going to hit it further, and you're going to hit it straighter. Now, here's the deal. If there is a tie, the first correct entry will win that cutting-edge vertical groove driver. Entry deadline is Sunday noon Eastern, U.S. Open Sunday. But it's imperative to get your entry in early, because if there is a tie, first one in wins. So once again, all you have to do is pick who you think is going to win the U.S. Open, send it to entry@thegrillroom.com. All right, Jay Bird, let's talk about the U.S. Open qualifying. Field is almost set for this 117th U.S. Open, and it's going to be conducted first time in the state of Wisconsin. Brand new golf course at Erin Hills. Have you heard anything about it, Jay?
Yeah, I've heard it's a beautiful venue. You know, you think of Wisconsin, you think of that beautiful place that we both love in Kohler. I think what's going to be interesting is how the rough is this year. Is the rough going to be a little bit more? We have seen the U.S. Open be a little bit softer on the players as it relates to the rough. I'm going to be curious. It always is interesting, Bob, when you go to a new venue for a U.S. Open.
Last report I heard, which a little disconcerting, that the rough just off the fairway was higher than the rough way off the fairway. That seems to be out of whack, but we'll have to wait and see what Mike Davis and his crew has set up when we get there next week. How about this? Almost 9,000 players entered the U.S. Open qualifying. They went through various stages. This past Monday, 552 players for 72 spots in the U.S. Open. In the international qualifying, they had four spots up for grabs in Japan, 15 spots at one of my favorite places, Walden Heath in England. We have 78 players automatically exempted into the final field. Of course, you go with the top 60 world rankings. There's still some special exemptions to be announced. But some of the notables, Jay, how about the man that lives in Wisconsin? He's going to be teeing it up.
Yeah, great to see Steve Stricker, who had kind of asked for an exemption into the U.S. Open, had not received the news yet. He goes and tees it up at the qualifying in Memphis, kind of quote-unquote one of the tour locations for qualifying, and he makes it. Way to go, Steve Stricker. When you're over, you know, when you're a senior golfer, essentially, and you make the U.S. Open through qualifying, that's huge. Also, young Tyson Alexander, son of former Florida golf coach Buddy Stewart Alexander, who had a great success as an amateur himself. Daniel Chopra, medalist at his qualifying site. Jason Kokrak, who's been playing much better. Young stud Bud Cauley. Hard to believe, Bob. It just tells you how difficult it is to get in the U.S. Open that Keegan Bradley had to qualify.
Yeah, former PGA champion. And talk about how difficult. I was with Daniel Chopra. The year was 2008. We were playing at the Plantation Course in Kapalua for the Mercedes-Benz Championship. Who comes out on top by Daniel Chopra? He wins over $1 million. This year, he's competing on the Web.com Tour. He's played three times. He's had two top 10 finishes so far this year, and he made the cut in the other one. Total earnings for the year, $35,000. So he's going to have a golden opportunity to make a lot more money at the U.S. Open. Last time I saw him, he had dyed his hair white blonde. I understand he qualified. It was dark. So I guess he figured out blondes do not have more fun all the time. Bryson DeChambeau made it in. Pretty good move on his part. Stuart Sink, who really seems to be playing some fantastic golf. He had all that trouble for the last couple of years trying to help his wife through her battle with cancer. Everything seems to be going well on that front. And Stuart Sink, former Open champion, was in that big battle at Turnberry with Tom Watson. How about that amateur from the University of Texas?
No, that's strong playing. When you look at amateurs qualifying for the U.S. Open, I believe there are going to be nine in the field, but I believe five got through the qualifying as amateurs. There are a couple of, obviously, exemptions. That's strong. So it's great to see those amateurs get their taste of the U.S. Open.
Yes, the grill room's going to be there. Phil Mickelson won't be there. He made a decision that I felt bad for him when I heard the decision, which was that he was not going to be able to make it because his daughter's graduation from high school is on Thursday. That's the first day of the U.S. Open. She's president of the class. She's going to be giving the speech. And Phil said, hey, there's no decision here. I, as much as I want to win the U.S. Open, having finished second six times, my daughter's graduation is more important. And I applaud Phil for making that call, and I'm sure you feel the same way.
Well, Bob, I applaud you. You cannot fault anybody for wanting to be at their daughter's graduation. And let's just throw in the caveat that she's the president of the class and going to do the commencement address. I mean, my goodness. But you also think about the fact that he's running out of opens. And, you know, his place in the game, I think, would be altered by an open, you know, by a U.S. Open. So I certainly don't fault him, but we're going to miss him at the U.S. Open. There's no doubt about it because, you know, the chance for the career Grand Slam is something very rare in our game.
And I, you know what I'm going to do the next time I see him? I'm going to walk right up to him, and I'm going to say, hey, thank you, Phil, for going to your daughter's graduation, because that sets up the perfect scenario. If you're going to complete the Grand Slam and win a U.S. Open, why don't you do it at Shinnecock, where we're going to be teeing it up next year, rather than a first-timer, Aaron Hills, out of the box. I think the celebration would be a massive one out on the end of Long Island next year when we come back to Shinnecock. And God willing, and I say that not jokingly, God willing, that'll be my fourth U.S. Open in the media at one location, and that's pretty hard to do the way they space out those U.S. Opens.
Well, and the other thing, Bob, and I thought about this after the announcement, you're right, and he played Shinnecock well, and then the following year, it's at Pebble, which he plays well and has success. So I'm not saying it made the decision easier to do this, but he still, you know, Phil's got to be looking at maybe four or five opens left to have a chance to win.
Well, we wish him the very best of luck. I firmly believe that if anybody deserves winning a U.S. Open, it's certainly somebody that's finished second six times more than any other individual that's played the game.
Well, you know, we have our U.S. Open contest going on now. Just send your pick to win the U.S. Open to entry at thegrillroom.com. But I need everyone to know that the winner is going to receive a custom-fitted vertical groove driver from Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, just like I've got in my bag. The details on this cutting-edge driver, which conforms to the rules of golf, it's designed to reduce spin at impact. It does, forcing tighter dispersion and leading to an average up to 40% straighter ball flight. What I noticed, it lowered my ball flight. The ball goes straighter and further, less spin, more distance. That's only a good thing. Some of the best players on the PGA Tour champions, including two-time major winner John Daly, who won earlier this year out on the Champions Tour, 2016 Senior Players Champion Rocco Mediate. They are recognizing the results, and they're doing it in competition. Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Visit vertgolf.com to customize your new driver and feel the difference. Order yours today, vertgolf.com.
Golfin, the innovative award-winning clubs of choice for parents eager to see their kids fall in love with golf. In fact, let's let Callum McPherson, founder and managing director of Golfin, explain how Golfin GFK clubs take the young golfer from beginner to winner.
Our clubs, our golf clubs, are designed and manufactured, as you know, Bob, to make the game easier for kids so that we build confidence and they have fun from the very, very beginning.
Visit golfin.com. That's golphin.com to find out more and how to order your kids the gift of golf right now. Well, Jay, the news coming out of the RNA has got to be sweet news for you. They're implementing Ready Golf for all their amateur championships. A good thing, I'm sure. You like that type of activity at Normandy.
I love for the general public, the you know, mom and pop amateurs to do it. I do think it's a little interesting that, you know, at the British Amateur in qualifying, it's not going to be who's out. It's going to be who's ready, which is interesting. But I think for the amateur that goes to play or the weekend golfer, Ready Golf is the way to go.
Yeah, one of the real problem spots in trying to get more and more people to play golf, they say it takes too long. If we go to Ready Golf, it's going to speed up play. People are going to have more enjoyment, be able to get back to their families faster, and probably even shoot lower scores.
Let's take a short break, and when we return, we'll have an exclusive interview. The man who helped Kevin Kisner win at Dean and DeLuca, his caddy, Dwayne Bach. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis. Talk Sport 2. Tune in, Audio Boom, iTunes, and of course, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Time now in The Grill Room to welcome a very special guest for a lot of reasons. Number one, he's currently caddying on the PGA Tour. He brought his man home just 2 weeks ago at Colonial. But even more important than that, we kind of grew up together, and his father, Dave Bach, was speaking to Dwayne. Dave Bach used to whip me like a stepchild on the golf course. So catching up with an old friend and catching up with somebody that has some answers about being a caddy. And Dwayne, thanks for taking time out, and really appreciate it. And first off, congratulations on that great win at Colonial.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's great to talk to you, and thanks for having me on.
All right, let's begin. Rich from Denver sent in a question. He says, you know, it's really hard to become a tour player now and get your card. What he wanted to know is, how hard is it to be a caddy on the PGA Tour?
Well, you know, it is a difficult road. I like to tell people it's about relationships. It's about knowing players before you even give it a shot. But as for a caddy, I believe it's a lot like going down the same road as what the player does. For myself, I played professionally for 12 years right out of college, and then when I decided to give that up and looked into caddying, I started out on the what is now the web.com tour caddy for a few guys that actually I competed against for during those 12 years that were out there. And so I caddy for likes of Ken Duke, a kid named Rich Massey, Dave Christensen. So I worked a couple of years there. And along the way, I picked up Doug LaBelle, who also played the Canadian tour with me during those years. Doug was a fully exempt player on the PGA tour. And during that time is when I met Kevin Kisner, and when Doug lost his tour card, I called up Kevin and asked him if he needed some help. And in 2009, I worked for him at the PGA Tour qualifying school. And 8 years later, here we are. We're still together and have a great relationship together and work well together. And we've had two wins on the web.com tour and now two wins on the PGA Tour.
And hopefully a major is going to be on the horizon. I'm impressed with your player, Kevin Kisner, especially his mental toughness. Dwayne, is he as tough coming down the stretch as what we see on TV?
Absolutely, if not tougher. I mean, the one thing about Kevin, and I saw it, to be honest with you, in 2009 at finals of Q School, he ended up, he had no experience on any tour except for some mini tours. He won some mini tour events, and In 2009 at the PGA Tour qualifying school. He missed his tour card by a shot, but he was coming down the stretch, and I could see it in his eyes. There's something in his face and just the way he does. He calms down. The more stress or the tighter the situation gets, it's as if his heart rate kind of slows down and everything kind of slows down, and that focus, it's an extreme focus that I've never seen out of any other athlete that I've ever been around. Just from personal experience, I know that, whenever I got in that situation, I've actually had to think about slowing everything down and controlling your breathing. But Kevin, it's his comfort zone. That's where he's comfortable, is being in that situation, and he embraces it. And, you know, it's fun to watch. And like I said, I saw that in 2009 at Q School. I remember coming home and telling my wife that this kid has it. I mean, it's unbelievable. And he's proven it. It just took him a couple of years to feel comfortable out there with the courses and the conditions. And he's worked hard on his golf game. And he has an extreme confidence in his ability under pressure. And it shows. It shows week in, week out when he gets in contention.
Darren from Portland wanted to know, what is the average work week for a PGA Tour caddy?
The average work week, it starts as soon as we get there on Monday. Monday's kind of it's a quiet day, and what I mean by a quiet day for me is Mondays is usually it's by myself. Kevin lets me go out and I do all my coursework. Coursework consists of, for every player it's a little bit different, but for Kevin, we want lines off tees. We work on lines off tees, and then I spend majority of my time around every green, looking at where possible pin placements will be, where our miss would be, where our if a pin's in a certain spot, where we cannot hit it, and so I do that on every green and every tee shot. We get a sight line for where the center of the fairway is. We always work off the center of the fairway, so that would take me somewhere around 5 to 6 hours to do that for 18 holes, and then Tuesday I will finally meet Kevin, and he'll put in a full day of practice either with his chipping coach or swing coach on the range around the short game area. We'll usually play 9 holes, and then Wednesday's a pro-am, which is another full day of practice, and then 18 holes with the amateurs, and then the tournament starts on Thursday, and Thursday through Sunday. So it's a full week for me. It's 7 straight days of travel and work, and for Kevin it's travel, but his week usually starts on a Tuesday. Mine starts on a Monday. We do like going back to courses that we've been to before, because our work, it's just more or less double checking to make sure to see any changes that they've made. But it is a full week, and people don't realize that 2-3 weeks in a row on the road, how much it not only takes out of you physically, but also mentally. It's great. I enjoy my job, but I tell you, at night, I'm tired. I'm exhausted, not only physically, but mentally. And I sleep well at night. I sleep a good 7-8 hours at night. And it's early to bed, early to rise, and then we go after it.
Well, that leads up to our next question. Believe it or not, Andy from San Diego wanted to know, how does a caddy get paid? Like, let's go back to Colonial. He wins this big check on Sunday. When do you get paid for that week's work?
It differs again from player to player. The way I'm set up is we get paid a salary that kind of covers our expenses while we're there on the road, and then because as a caddy we're responsible for all of our expenses. No one pays my expenses. I pay them all. I get my own travel. I get my own rental car, hotels, things like that. And so, and then we basically, we get paid through a percentage. So the better that our player does, the more money we make. I know Kevin, I think his check is automatically deposited into his account on Tuesday. And then I'll get paid shortly after that. So it is one of those deals. It's a risk. If your player is not playing well, you're basically just covering expenses and making a few $100s. But the pot at the end of the rainbow, as they sort of say, is big, and it's nice. And so when we have good weeks like I've had the last couple of weeks, it is very, very nice.
Gary from Indiana was speaking with Dwayne Bach, the caddy for Kevin Kisner, fresh off his victory a couple of weeks ago at Colonial. Gary said that he was under the impression it seems to be harder and harder to become a PGA Tour caddy. It seems like there's a bigger influx of friends and relatives and college teammates and almost the caddy coming from an inner circle.
Absolutely. I think going back to a question I answered earlier, it is caddying is so much about relationships. You know, we're together for roughly 30 weeks out of the year, and we're together 10, 12 hours a day. So there are times when we joke around, you know, I see Kevin, I spend more time with Kevin than I do with my own wife. The relationship between a player and caddy is crucial. Also, the trust of, I know secrets that other people don't know about Kevin, and Kevin knows some things I would never tell anybody else that's going on in my life. So it is a very personal relationship. It's not only a working relationship, and there's that trust factor. So when that's why it is so hard to get into caddying, and part of that trust factor, it's, you know, I think a player at this level, at the highest level on the PGA Tour, they feel comfortable with somebody that has some experience in competitive golf. That's why you see a lot of when you say friends, I believe it goes beyond friendship. I believe there are a lot of teammates maybe coming out of college that have been on the same college team with them or played college golf against them or junior golf against each other, because there are situations out on that golf course that a caddy needs to understand the emotions the player is going through and how the player thinks. And if you don't have that competitive, so to speak, that competitive know-how of what the player is going through, it may not hurt you. I mean, but it's not going to help. I think a player is more comfortable hearing things from a caddy that understands those situations a little bit better. So, you know, these younger kids that are coming out, we just had a caddy, AT&T put on an annual caddy tournament for us in Dallas. And these guys can play. They're all good players. You know, a bunch of guys are shooting under par, and so that's part of it. That's why it is so difficult to break into this kind of role of a PGA Tour caddy, and that's why it's so important to that guys that are wanting to get into this profession have to start out on the web.com tour and kind of grind their teeth there before stepping out on the PGA Tour. And it's a very difficult thing to get into, but if you do a good job, it's something that you can do for a lifetime.
Well, next up for you is going to be Aaron Hills. I know you're looking forward to that. Kevin Kisner is such a good player that I really think it's gone from, if Kevin Kisner is going to win a major, I think he's elevated himself with his play, to when is Kevin Kisner going to win a major. And I think this year's U.S. Open be a perfect place to get that done, Dwayne.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Kevin has worked very hard with the swinging trucks, or John Tillery, and you know, a weak spot in Kevin's game was his short game, and it was a year ago at the U.S. Open. Last year at Oakmont, he started working with Gabriel Hursted, and his short game has improved tremendously. And you know, and that's what you need in major championship golf, because it's going to test every part of your game, and you know, you're not going to hit every fairway and every green out there. You're going to have to scramble, that's one thing that Kevin has improved, and I'm really looking forward to what's down the road for us.
Well, thank you for your time, Dwayne Bach. Very competitive as a player, as good as they get as far as a caddy. Wish you the best of luck, and thanks for taking time out to join us.
Thank you, Bob. I really appreciate being on. Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed Bob's chat with caddy Dwayne Bach as much as I did. I love that inside the ropes type of stuff, and I'm glad we can provide it for you. After another short timeout, we'll wrap up this week's show with some news about the Lincoln Land Charity Championship. Stay with us. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Talk Sport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, and of course, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
Well, a big thank you to our golf fans. You're listening to The Grill Room. I'm Bob, he's Jay. And now let's take a look at the web.com tour. The Rex Hospital Open was won in a playoff between Texas Aggie Conrad Schindler and Chasen Hadley. And after recording his first web.com tour victory, Jay, Schindler now fifth on the all-important top 25 list, which, of course, is the path to the PGA Tour. I expect both those players are going to be playing in the Lincoln Land Charity Championship to be played at the Panther Creek Course in Springfield, Ohio. And that's coming up in a couple of weeks. And I think you have some information on how people may get some tickets.
Thanks to our friends at Lincoln Land Golf, I've got passes to the tournament. It's a great trip up there. You could even make a golf stop on the way. I think you can see the future of the PGA Tour. And I see our buddy Jason Gore right now is 16th on the money list. Got to believe he'll be there in Ohio. So it's the future and also kind of the past of the PGA Tour. And if you want to be there in person to see all the great players like Schindler and Hadley, visit LincolnLandCharityChampionship.com. Money raised from every ticket you buy goes to charity, and you get to pick the charity. It's a wonderful idea. If you'd like to follow the tournament, you can do so on Twitter at Lincoln Land Golf and on Facebook at Lincoln Land Charity Championship. There's great information on the Facebook page. And like I said, if you want, come out to Normandy, or if you're listening to us somewhere in the Midwest and want to go to the tournament, just send me a message on Twitter.
And Jay, before we wrap up this week's show, why don't you mention one more time how people can take advantage and maybe put a brand new vertical groove driver in their bag?
Well, I got one, and I love it. The new face of golf, Vertical Groove Golf. Just a reminder, enter our U.S. Open contest, pick the winner, and then send your pick to entry at thegrillroom.com, or make it simple and like us on Facebook and send a message to our Facebook page, The Grill Room Golf Show.
So for Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., myself, Bob Bupka, a thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf, like us on Facebook, and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.